Ivan Kruglak, a graduate of the University of Southern California in philosophy and cinema, is currently president of Coherent Communications Incorporated, an electronics development company. Mr. Kruglak has had a lifelong interest in both electronics and parapsychology, and will be explaining and demonstrating a highly sophisticated and effective indicating instrument known as the mind mirror. And incidentally, participating in an unusual, live, before your very eyes, parapsychological experiment. Ivan?
Thank you. Hello, hello there, folks. I hope you're awake after that lunch. What I'd like to do first is, in keeping with the theme of our conference, just give you a little quote here. The instruments that I'm demonstrating, or hope to demonstrate, are all means, not ends. What we're doing here, and what we're trying to do, is to help connect the worlds of the science that we, as we know it now, and some of what we're delving in here with psychotronics and ESP, other paranormal phenomena. And John Lilly, a few years back, said, "It is my firm belief that the experience of higher states of consciousness is necessary for the survival of the human species." I think this ties in a fair amount with what Mr. Bearden was talking about earlier, and I think you'll find this is my second meeting, and I find more and more, no matter how diverse the talks are, that they sooner or later connect somewhere. And I hope, as Tom mentioned, that this will lead to dramatic results in the next few years. The mind mirrors, which you see at my left here, are an outgrowth of development work done by two people in England, Max Cade, who for many years was a radiation physicist and was one of the developers of radar during World War II in England, and a fellow by the name of Jeff Blendell, who is an electronics engineer there and working in one of my other endeavors in the audio and motion picture field where I first met him, and secondly as an avocation in research into the paranormal, specifically in healing. And what they did is, through a period of about 3 years worth of development, they came up with these machines. I'll go into them in a little bit of detail in a moment. But first, I'd like to just give you a little bit of background for those who aren't familiar with biofeedback and its ramifications. Let me just dwell on that for a few moments here. By the way, I might add that I hope you'll excuse the presentation. Pete collared me as I walked in to register and said, "Did you know you're giving a presentation here?" And so I said, "Yes, no." Now I know. To sneak in next time.
But he was ready.
Anyway, biofeedback principles were first described in the early 1950s by Dr. Joe Kamina, who is now at the Langley Porter Institute in Berkeley, California. His research showed that a subject could be taught to control his own brain waves. Later developments have shown that that most, if not all, areas of autonomic nervous system can be consciously controlled. The autonomic nervous system is considered those functions that are normally not under active control, such as breathing, pulse rate, heart rate, and so forth. Thank you. Through further experimentation by Dr. Kamina and others, we have now proven that we can consciously control such things as local control of your body temperature to relieve the effects of migraine headaches and Raynaud's disease, which is a problem of poor circulation, which can eventually lead to loss of limbs through gangrene. We can control stomach acidity for ulcer patients, control blood pressure, pulse rate, and so forth. It seems that we have far greater control over our physical body than had previously been imagined. Now, although his work in proving this and showing the scientific background for biofeedback is, as I say, within the last 25 to 30 years, there have been biofeedback-type machines for quite some time. There's a picture that I've seen of a device, a mechanical device, that fits over your forehead to teach you how to wiggle your ears. This was developed in the late 1800s. I'm not sure why anyone wants to wiggle their ears, but the point of all this is that if we can exert this control over our physical body, what about over our mental self? And just as some of us have natural talents at athletics, music, math, and so forth, certain of us seem to have greater psychic abilities. Nonetheless, we have a problem. How can one enhance or activate these abilities in a demonstrable fashion? Not everyone is a master, a Picasso or a Piatigorsky. These machines, as I mentioned, are a means in training students toward achieving higher levels of consciousness, not an end. I'll now just carry on with the presentation of the mind mirror itself, and for this I'll just try moving over here. Okay. I should probably explain, for those who are not familiar with the split brain theories, there are actually three levels of the brain, the cortex being the highest, and you have a left and right hemisphere. We associate the left or logical facility with the left hemisphere. Also, time sequential actions, our everyday life in this society, we're always accused of being left brain, logically rather than intuitively oriented. The right brain is therefore connected and associated with emotional actions, spatial recognition and perception, such as faces, maps, pictures, and so forth. Now, this does not totally describe what is happening in the cortex. There are certain areas, such as memory, which does not seem to have a particular site, but is rather spread over the whole brain. Now, the brain frequencies that we have traditionally been able to measure are in the range of from very, very low frequencies, almost at direct current. This is called the delta frequency band and runs from somewhere around half a hertz, half a cycle, up to around four cycles. Higher than that is the theta region, which is somewhere around four, seven, or eight. Now, these frequencies are different between children and adults, so what I'm telling you is roughly for results. The famous alpha frequencies ranging from somewhere around seven or eight up to 12 or so, and the beta ranging from 12 or 16 up to around 40 hertz or higher. Now, in our research, we have discovered a couple of things. Now, the mind mirror has been used on approximately 2,000 to 3,000 people in tests run in England. And these patterns that I passed around briefly before starting are the result of these analyses. And are at least representative of a fair number of English people. Now, the work we've done here has shown very similar patterns, with the exception of groups like this. Last year, I found three or four people that were demonstrating something that we hadn't associated with people that have psychic abilities. And just this year, in trying to select some victims for our demonstration, I ran into a similar phenomena. Now, the significance that we'd seen with healers, such as was presented last year when Rose Gladden, an English healer, made a presentation, was a lot of activity in the delta region, the lowest frequencies, upon the onset of a, quote, paranormal phenomena. When she was doing her healings, just at the onset of when she could feel a reaction, localize an area of pain in the subject, she would say, ah. And just as she vocalized that ah, we could see a definite shift on the mind mirror. And as she continued, we could see a transference, or at least a partial transference, of her pattern, which was quite different from one of the subjects, to that subject. And we've seen this not all the time, maybe 10 or 20% of the time, that the healer, in doing whatever they're doing, is able to transfer their unique brainwave pattern to the healee or the subject. And what I shall do now is just go over a little bit of how the machine works and how it's displayed. If you can see what's going on here, we have left is left and right is the right hemisphere. Now, in this Western society, generally the left brain is dominant. That is not necessarily true with everyone. In fact, according to these machines, it's a lot less true than had generally been thought. These machines have capability of measuring much lower in frequency than some of the traditional laboratory equipment, and some of the results is because we are able to obtain this greater resolution. Now, the bottom frequency, as I mentioned, is this delta band, this and this, and everything is a continuum rather than arbitrarily defining this is delta. Delta merges with theta merges with alpha, and alpha merges with beta. Now, we generally associate the beta with the active state, performing math problems, everyday waking activity. The alpha is the dominant brain rhythm with the eyes closed, and in initial research with the so-called alpha power and alpha this, that, and the other, the machines that were created at that time measured alpha frequencies only because that was the easiest thing to measure. It was the largest amplitude waveform. Now, we have come to find out that alpha, shown of itself, does not have that much significance. It will show someone is able to relax, and it will show that someone is able to do certain meditative levels. We found that those individuals that are more advanced, or what we consider to be advanced, will show waveforms along with that alpha that normally people cannot generate, such as a beta and a delta at the same time. Now, what this means is that the person's brain is active on at least 3 or 4 levels. And this is the classical pattern. For those of you who have those papers, and you might want to just take a quick look and hand the paper to your neighbor, if you want to take a look at drawing number... let's see. 9 and 10, for instance, would be representative of... Oh, yeah? It's not? Got a powerful audience? Is that what it is? Okay, I'll try this microphone for a while. Okay, 8 and 9, if you want to just take a look. Those are the patterns that we traditionally associated with healers. As I mentioned here, we've seen some other patterns with... I measured a number of the people at the Monroe Institute, Bob Monroe, whose work has been primarily in astral projection and travel, out-of-body experiences. His people, the people that he had trained, showed very similar readings to what we saw here last year with Pete and a couple of the other people who volunteered. Now, I have to try this other mic because I have to go over here and explain what we're seeing. Okay, how about that? Okay, in a second I'm going to ask Anne to explain what she's going to attempt to do. Currently, we can see with Anne now naturally as I talk, it probably is going to momentarily distract her, but sorry about that, Anne, but I'll stop in a moment and show you what's going on. We see a good alpha indication right here in about the 12 cycle region, and when I first looked over here, I did see a few delta flares. Now, the significance, as I mentioned, of the delta is generally with the healer, once they're in this state, we will see activity both in the alpha, delta, and sometimes in the beta region. Now, these states that I mentioned, probably bear a little bit of explanation. The work that Cade did on researching states of consciousness, along with looking at what other people, what other authors such as Maslow and some of the other people have been looking and trying to find out how to verbally describe these states, since we can't actually measure them. He has a list of approximately 8 states. Roughly, deep sleep is considered to be 0, nothing's going on. Then REM or dreaming sleep, 1, and so forth, up to a meditative state such as we're seeing would be right now would be 4, and then a healing state of higher consciousness would be 5, and then 6, 7, and 8 are sort of unknown. 6 is associated with creativity, such as the moment of inspiration of an author or a painter or individual who's in the process of creating some sort of work or object. And so if you look at that orange flyer, that's those references to states are, that's the reference. Okay, if I can get over here. Okay, open your eyes for me.
Me?
Yes.
They're open.
Okay, good. Okay, now she's reacting. This top channel is a muscle response indicator. When it's in the green, it means her neck muscles and her jaws are unclenched. How are you at math problems? How about a simple one? How about 7 times 7 minus 2 times 2?
45.
Okay. Now what we're seeing, although there was a momentary overload, we're seeing some strong beta activity in both hemispheres. Now when someone's eyes are open, it's normal to see this delta activity. You get an effect of like a concave mirror, 2 concave mirrors back to back, with greater or lesser results just depending on the person. This is what we call passive awareness. They're listening to what's being said and they're observing what's going on without really reacting to it. Now go ahead and close your eyes. Okay, now we're seeing a little bit more briefly, we'll see if this continues, but we're seeing alpha activity mainly on the right hemisphere, or this would be the artistic or creative side of the brain. Now, looks, you can see balance. I'll use myself as a stereotype since I'm an engineer, although I don't happen to show the particular pattern I'll describe. What happens with a number of people I've seen and from our society is that you will get all the activity on this side, the left side of the machine, and what we will see here is virtually a straight line. In other words, the right side of the brain is, for all intents, just not active. And we can, with just a few hours of meditation or various types of relaxation therapy, cause the right brain to come alive, as it were, and we will get pretty decent symmetry between left and right. Good. Now, let's try a little visualization with you. Are you a beach fan or a mountain fan, or what do you like to do as relaxing? All right, just imagine that you're in a nice sunny beach. You can feel the sand between your toes. Feel the sun on your body. Okay, Anne, if I could ask you to just open your eyes for a minute. Okay, come back to Earth. Yes? Okay. All right, now we're having a slightly different reaction with Anne on the eyes open. There's a good deal of this delta happening here, and not too much, she's still very relaxed, so there's not too much beta activity happening here. Now, I'm going to pass the microphone to end. We're going to try a little experiment. We haven't done this. We have no idea what's going to happen. So if we have time, we may try a couple other volunteers, but we'll just see what's going on. And I'm going to hand you this just a moment.
Thank you. I'd like to...
This is for recording, too.
Volunteer with me is someone that I was advised had a problem and has had since last February. And this problem, I believe you described as like a continuous burping, is that correct? Okay. And the individual that brought this to my attention, Mr. Stark from Louisiana, said he had checked it out and found that it was a case that he was getting medication. It was possession. And I confirmed this, that it was possession, so I have to, you know. Wouldn't we need to allow people to see the transfer of energy when an exorcism is done? I have no idea how it will show up on this machine. I have done an exorcism before when I was hooked up to a mind mirror, but there was only one. There was only one on me, and the person that was doing it said, gee, I've never seen that pattern before, which doesn't really tell you a whole lot. But, you know, this is purely an experiment. It does not take me long at all to do an exorcism. What I will do is go through a mental process myself to check out. I will confirm again that this is indeed the problem. Then I will ask the type of energy that is required to remove this particular energy, this particular entity. And then I will mentally broadcast that energy. And after I do that, then I will broadcast another energy. Chances are excellent it will be color, because anytime you remove something like an entity, you have created a void. And if you do not fill that void, you will also leave a place for another entity to come in. I will also check her aura. If there are holes in her aura, I will seal them. As I said, this doesn't take too terribly long. So, you know, I feel like I'm fixing to take a test. I don't know whether I can pass it or not. I'm not worried about the exorcism. I just don't know how it's going to show up on there. So, are you ready?
Do you want to move around? Do you want to do it from right here?
Yeah. Yeah, I just need to swing this. Okay. No. I mean, that's like, you know, if I do that, I'm liable to leave an entity half in and half out. I am mentally projecting energy to her. And it is a distraction to try to talk. I need to concentrate. You all just try to figure out what's happening up here. And this should not take probably more than about 3 or 4 minutes. I'm going to go through a rather complete process to make sure we get all this. And, of course, the neat thing about this particular experience is the indication that I get is that this is the cause of this problem that she's having. So we got an indicator here. Yes. Oh, okay. Can I back up? Back.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Is everybody ready?
Okay. We're putting Jerry here on the spot and get another description of what happened. And chords aren't lining up.
Okay, I'm asked to describe the auras. And I really do need a longer cord so I could get over there and watch what things are happening. Is it possible? Since you're directing this, Ivan, would you tell me which one to start on? And I'm not really familiar with background, but I'll...
Okay. Anne was doing an exorcism of this lady, and you came in right at the tail end. So I was wondering if you can remember just as you walked in what was happening, and possibly if there are any residual effects right now that you see that you might consider to be unusual as far as the art goes.
I see the entity behind the lady, and I see effectively what looks like a pool of water at her feet, which are actually two distinct entities. Anne has a beautiful green aura. She has a white streak of light shooting straight up her back and out. The lady has an energy change, which is growing real nice. It's a nice blue around the heart region. There's a little orange. There's a yellow light coming out of her frontal part of her brain at the forehead, which is nice, which is not there when I walked in. Her feet are like halfway up to the calves in mud. There is a distinct attraction and the Hoonas would call it a strong ACA thread connection that it has not been broken. I have to relate it in terms. The entity is let's say 97-98% in back of her, out of the body. The two entities, I'm not sure if that's two entities or exactly what that is at the moment at the feet. I can tell you a little bit that she's been expressing physical discomfort for the last past months in the abdominal region. She is in generally good health. Anna's pushing a little energy right now, which got me. It's all right. I'm just sensitive. The lady had a change of mind. I'm not sure what her name is. Reflected in her aura change there. We have a gray light above her, which we're working on going to the light. We have green now around the buttocks and the thighs, and blue at the knees, and yellow on the below the knees, and we're dissipating the gray matter and the stickiness of the feet slowly. We have at the right breast, we have a gray area, which is a connection. At the right shoulder blade on the back, we have a gray area, which is a connection. The left side is clear. We have a nice energy field coming out of the left leg. We have a normal energy field coming out of the right leg. The right kidney is pulsating healthy now, which is good. The right shoulder is starting to show signs of healthiness. The head itself, now we have energy from behind the head, which was lacking earlier. We have a blue aura around the neck, which was lacking earlier. We have a connection at the top of the head only at this point. The right shoulder connection is gone. The right shoulder blade is almost completely gone, and we have only one connection left. The feet are almost completely disconnected from whatever it was. It's slowly changing. We have just a minute connection yet with the feet, and I think we ought to concentrate there first. Get rid of that. good. We have an energy change. She's become a little inhibited. That's all right. The feet are showing healthy colors now. They're not completely open yet. The energy at the top of the head is reflecting her thoughts at the present time. We need to get a little healthy up there. I went a nice ray out and said, okay, I'll concentrate up there. It was an orange out the right side of her head, a 45 degree angle. There is blue coming off her nose. She's getting her energy up. Orange at the forehead, yellow at the forehead, blue around the head. We have green around the neck. We have yellow out the left shoulder, straight up, which is good. At the back of the head, we still have a small connection, which is fast disappearing. The feet seem to be almost completely devoid of any contact except for the toes. It's moving away from her. The connection is almost completely broken now. Almost. No, a little more work needed. We have energy in her eyes reflecting a good aura. We have little splashes of lights, yellows and blues and whites jumping out there. We have energy running down the nose. We have energy in the left ear that I can see. I'm going to have to look through her head to see the right ear. It's blue. It's not strong yet. Okay, she's a good person. We have energy running up the spine, up the back of the head. And there's a slight blockage yet. There's green generally over the entire body, which is good. The feet are clear. The heart has a beautiful blue and yellow light coming straight out of it. The top of the head, the frontal part, is producing fairly low energy, but bright energy, and the back of the head is not yet clear. The right ear is pulsing blue, dull and bright, dull and bright. The left ear is pulsing green, brightly. The front lobes are pulsing, not very strong. The back of the head at the pituitary needs some energy. There is a general energy drain on the top of the head. It's like a leaf laying on top of the head. We can just get rid of that. Okay, we're drawing up further to the top of the head, the displacement there. The energy at the forehead is getting brighter. The energy on the cheeks is getting brighter. Right above the lips, getting brighter. The throat is starting to pulsate color, which is good. The top of the head is receiving the wrong energy, let's say. At the top of the head, we're almost devoid. Nothing has entered the feet again. The feet are clear. The legs are clear. There's a strong energy channel down through the legs, which was probably missing earlier for the last 3 or 4 months. She's probably feel a slight weakness of the legs. At the top of the head, finally, we have a yellow spot of light popping out the top of the head. We're dissipating the ACA thread. At the back of the head, we have a ray of energy coming out. We have a green at the back of the head. Good. We have a yellow. We have a red. We have a blue at 45 degree angles. To her right, out the back of the head, we have a ray of energy starting to come out the top of the head. There's a green down the top of the head. Effectively, we have no more connection with this person. It is a strictly healthy energy body as far as I can see at the present time. Minor discomforts will go away and I see nothing but good for now for this person. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, very much. If we can have your patience a couple more minutes, if Ann is willing, we have just a couple quick experiments for you. Thank you very much, Vivian. Let's see. You can stay there for a second if you don't mind. Okay, thank you. By all means, how do you feel?
I don't know. I've just been as blank as I can. I've not changed yet.
If you follow the normal pattern, you certainly will sleep tonight. Let me say this, your electrical force field has been messed with. You will have, for 48 hours, a loss of beryllium, lithium, and zinc. But this will turn itself around naturally, and your body will replenish itself. Quite frequently, you know, I do a lot of exorcisms, you know, people don't even slow down, which is what I consider normal. But the one thing that is always very, very paramount is, boy, will you sleep. Because it's just like you alone there in your body, and it's very comfortable and it's very relaxing, and you will probably have wished to sleep a little more than normal at any rate.
Thank you, Ann. What we'd like to try now is see if we can see an effect on the instrument of one of the type of magnetic pacers that Al mentioned yesterday in his presentation, one that Pete has concocted. And if you can close your eyes and just relax, and we'll see here, we've been observing that Ann has had a quite good alpha at somewhere in the neighborhood of roughly 10 to 16 hertz. Now this unit is set down about 8 cycles, in other words, right in between 7 to 9. So depending, we may try changing frequencies. So we haven't seen anything happen in these frequencies right here. So if we see something here, it will definitely be showing the effect of this device.
Okay. Let me say this. I think there is a force field that is around me right now, and I'm going to mentally attempt to remove that force field, so I'll let you watch if there's anything to watch. And then I'm going to ask that Pete hand his instrument to me. I will mentally remove that force field now. Tuna salad, chicken salad, something of that nature.
See, the idea on this is that in a controlled state
now, you could keep yourself in any pattern you chose to, but if you're in a normal wake state and active in the world, you can be affected by outside influences, and we're trying to show an outside influence. Now, Anne is a very, very strong as far as being able to hold herself in a given state. And so I'm trying to get her to communicate and think about lunch and the steak dinner we're going to have tonight. up at the next building where we ate the first night. And if she thinks about that beautiful a little bit, we'll see if we can affect her with a magnetic field. Right with the steak dinner, huh? Okay. Just go on. Right. 1 and 2, or very high frequency. How do you feel?
Fantastic.
Well, good.
I'll probably take some bad luck. Work I got piled up at home.
Uh-oh. I can see stress.
That ought to do it.
I can see stress building when you say all that work piled up at home.
I got a lot of time.
That's the on.
Yeah, so 1 and 4 are on.
1 and 4 are on, right.
Go ahead and close your eyes for a second.
I find it very unusual. It stops the top part of the right brain and the intuitive side.
Absolutely.
And so
intensity that this thing is set on. It seems to be a little more subtle than that, and it seems to be dampening certain frequencies as opposed to just showing its own.
It's combining two frequencies in cancellation.
Okay.
Adding two.
Okay. I have one more device here, if Ann is patient enough. We have a strobe light. It's not a neon or flash type strobe, which is quite harmful to the eye. This is it's basically a flashlight that's been modified. And the stimulation of the optic nerves by this thing can create tremendous relaxation depending on the frequency, and it can also create certain effects such as colors, images. Now, this is a red filter. Now, we'll see what happens as we change. Roughly 10% of the people I've tried this on, their brain will lock to this, and we can tune it just as though we were playing keys on a piano, and we can run it up and run it down. Generally speaking, that has been with people who do not have strong abilities as far as psychic abilities are concerned.
And will.
And strong will, right. I guess that's a fair statement. So we'll see what happens, and I'll let you describe the effects of this, Ann, okay? And now tell me if at any time it causes any discomfort. And come on, it should be fairly close.
I'm not uncomfortable.
No, you shouldn't be uncomfortable. Just every now and then we find someone that has some frequency that is uncomfortable. But looking at the lens, do you see anything other than a flickering red light? At some point you may.
Oh, yeah, I see all kinds of funny-looking circles and colors. And there was one spot you hit there that was a little bit faster than I would say is comfortable.
Go ahead and describe the colors. What do they look like?
I see a circle of purple. And it is, well, there's two. There's a small one, then there's a larger one. Then there's two circles of yellow tinged with red. That's nice. That slow one is, it's like it slows the mind, and it's, that's very comfortable. Now you're, that excites the mind, I guess you'd say, and it's taking on all kinds of different patterns.
Go down.
That's right there is, that's blaring,
okay.
Almost white.
Go ahead and close your eyes and get up nice and close and see.
Okay. All kinds of things are going on inside here.
Up or down?
Go down all the way and go up there.
There's that nice one. That seems to be, that's interesting. That's lifting out and up. It's almost like you have to hold on to your consciousness.
Okay, keep your eyes closed for just a second. This, as you can see, it stimulates the brain activity, and there's a fair amount of stuff happening all over. Now, sometimes we will see a downward shift of the pattern that the person has, and this will give them a different type of meditation or a different type of just state of consciousness from what they had been perceiving before. Now, I might add, just in the first experiment, we were seeing I can't say that we're seeing a shift of patterns from one to the other. There were similarities, but it wasn't clear enough for me to say that there was a definite shift as Anne was doing her work, although there were similarities in the pattern. Okay. Pete, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to simply loosen her up now and see if she, how far she can relax.
Just totally, for the moment, destroyed my imagery. It's like I was in essence floating on a sea of tranquility, actually becoming a part of it. Just totally, for the moment, destroyed my imagery. It's like I was in essence floating on a sea of tranquility, actually becoming a part of that sea there for a while. Now I can't get back.
Okay, I think we probably should get a move on. Thank you very much. We shall, I hope, during the hands-on, be able to take one of these machines down and...
Can you set one of those up in room 218?
Yeah, sure. We'll set one up, and anyone that's interested, time permitting, will do a little fiddling. Please, go ahead. Vivian, right? Well, it's quite possible if she'd been fairly relaxed that there was a transfer of something, and I'm sorry to say that I was wrapped up over here and didn't see that. But yeah, we do see things like that happening. And if you saw on that yellow-orange paper that went around, there's some fairly extreme graphs that show that. And were you doing anything intentional? Were you just sort of sitting here passively absorbing what was going on?
Mostly passive, just trying to stay out of the way.
I thought
that Delta was the way that showed up more when you're sleeping, but it seems that Anne talked that more Delta shows up on hers. Traditionally, pure Delta had been associated with just deep sleep. However, we find that most people with eyes open, active, will show both beta and delta simultaneously, more or less, depending on the individual. So some of the doctors in the area that I've mentioned this to said, no, it's impossible. What it turns out is mainly their instrumentation was not as sensitive or is not as sensitive at the lower frequencies, and they just had not seen this before. And we've been able to demonstrate that this happens with just about everyone. Okay, any other questions, please?
I'm just going to make a comment. 50% of your conscious time is spent in that state. And that probably explains the delta on the bottom there. It's so close to the waking state, just a very narrow
state. It's possible. Yes, please.
I projected energy to her that removed the entities, that in essence loosened the entities, was sufficient energy to blast it out of her force field, shall we say. Then there were those from the other side who would take those entities onto the proper dimension that they belong to. I make sure they're there, number one. Then I project a particular type of energy, and I use key words. As has been said in the beginning, was the word. Well, words are like keys to the brain, and they are what will trigger these energies. And you have the wrong word, I don't care if you got the right energy, nothing's going to happen. But if you combine the right word and the right energy, then you can move it in anywhere you want it. And that, in essence, is what I was doing, was providing enough energy for that entity to move out, to be burst out of her force field, out of within her and her aura. And as I said, it was carried on to another dimension. If Jerry were here to come back and look, I think he'd find it's totally gone. Now, this is the one thing I've never known for sure, is how long from the time I complete my process, because my process doesn't take very long at all, until that entity is actually all totally loose and gone. Now, the results, most people, you know, I can do a exorcism on somebody and they'll call back 10 or 15 minutes and be like a different person. But, you know, I really, and I've done this with doctors even. I'll be at home and I've had them hooked up on EEGs, and we still haven't exactly correlated exactly when all this happens. But it's interesting to have someone who is psychic, very interesting, to see this process. Yeah.
Isabel?
And I don't understand it, you know. Maybe some of these theorists or scientists can tell me. I can't handle this low, I guess it's low frequency type thing across me. That's why I had to move from over there. It, somehow or other, it breaks the circuit, my circuitry. I can't have it, even a telephone cord, if I'm doing an exorcism or something of that nature, I cannot have it laying across me. No, the band's not. Oh, well, I would, you know. If it's over, it's over. You know, let's get it on.
Okay, well, again, these machines are a start. We have a long, long way to go to be able to see and measure directly what's going on in this other universe or dimensions. And these machines are just capable of measuring ordinary fields and energy. And, of course, as time goes on, we hope to be able to develop machines that are much more sophisticated in what they will show us. This is only a very small and partial representation. Not, as you've seen, totally without fault, but I hope you'll bear in mind that this work is very important, and the work that's being done by this organization is very important. And if you can, just keep on supporting it as best you can. I'm sure we'll all be the better for it. So thank you very much.